right. Thanks, Rachel. I'm so glad you guys are at church today. Thanks for coming and being a part of Sugar Hill Church. As Bobby mentioned, we're in this teaching series on the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's important, kind of as an overall picture, when we teach about the fruit of the Spirit, that we get this concept that it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's a big difference in those two. You say, well, it can't be that big a difference because the list is plural. Why is fruit singular? Well, all right, it's really simple. Because when you get the fruit of the Spirit, you get them all, right? When you get the fruit, it's a pick and choice. But the Spirit of God is generous, so he gives you the whole load, all right? So let's just kind of start there. And let's go to Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Now, Paul, when he writes this, is writing to the Galatians, and he's writing specifically to Christians. All right, he's writing to people who have said, hey, I want to trust Jesus with my life. I want to ask him to step into my life and forgive me my sin, and I want him to be the boss of my life, right? So he's speaking specifically to Christians. Now, here's a big difference. There's a difference in somebody that goes to church and somebody that's a Christian. There are a lot of people that come to church all the time, but they may not be Christians. And I bet we'll be able to know which one we are by the time we get done with today's teaching. So if you're in here today and you're like, okay, Chuck, I'm not sure if people would consider me a Christian or somebody who goes to church occasionally or regularly. Okay, this is all for you then, because we're going to see this picture of what it is to live and walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what the text says in Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 22. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, if you just take that segment, there's a lot to teach just in that sentence. First, it starts with a but, and that's a big but right there, all right? And the reasons there is everything Paul has written prior to that, he's talking about what the world offers you versus what Jesus offers you. Now, you could say, okay, Chuck, can you define what you mean by the world? Okay, well, think about it this way. If the world offers you fame and fortune, and Jesus offers you peace and contentment, then you would see a real definable difference in what the world offers versus what Jesus offers. Are you with me? Just kind of nod with you. With me? Okay, so in that perspective, after he goes through this litany of things about here's what the world offers you, he says, but the Holy Spirit. Now, then you could just stop there and say, okay, first of all, Chuck, I'm not sure I understand this whole Holy Spirit thing, all right? Because a lot of times, like if you grew up in certain churches, nobody ever taught you about the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit because we were scared to death of this thing called the Holy Spirit. Well, first of all, it's not a thing, it's a he, okay? So it's a person, and this Holy Spirit is the third part of one God. Okay, now watch this. One God, three parts. God the Father, creator and sustainer of the world, right? God the Son, Jesus, savior and redeemer of the world. God the Holy Spirit, keeper and counselor that lives in our life. And you say, well, how do I get this Holy Spirit? Well, it's super simple, right? Watch this. So God looks at us, sees us in our sinful nature. And by the way, the Bible says, not me, but no denomination, no church, the Bible says all of us are sinful people. All right, just kind of start there. Now, if you're sitting here and you say, Chuck, I didn't come to church for you to tell me I'm a bad person, I'm not telling you you're a bad person, all right? Matter of fact, I bet you're super cool. All I'm saying to you is that all of us, starting with me, we've all done things that weren't perfect when you compare them to God. And that's all he's saying, right? Because of that, the only one that can forgive us is God. Well, how is he going to do that? He sends his second part of him, Jesus, to be born. We're going to celebrate Christmas in a few months, right? That's what we celebrate. So Jesus, born, lives this perfect, sinless life, teaches, preaches, heals, gives his life voluntarily on a cross where he sheds his blood. And because of that shed blood, we have the opportunity to have forgiveness. In that forgiveness, when we ask for it, then he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, when I leave, I'm going to give you my gift of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do in our life? Well, he guides us, counsels us, corrects us, directs us, all right? Well, where does he live? Inside of us. Well, is he doing stuff? All the time. Well, how come I don't hear him? Because you've shut him down, all right? Now, what do? To get him cranked up. That's what the whole fruit of the Spirit is about, because it says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now watch this. My friend, Freddie Cross, teaches a men's group here at Sugar Hill Church, and he had shared with me earlier this morning that he was teaching on this with his men some time back, and he had these pictures of trees, oak trees, maple trees, elm trees, dogwood trees. And, you know, after a while, honestly, like my granddad, he was big on saying, "Yeah, boy, what kind of tree is that?" You know, I just make stuff up. I didn't care. Right? And, you know, you walk through a tree, you see enough trees, like, tree's a tree, man. I mean, he's bark, wood, branches, leaves, got it. Now, some of y'all are geeked up, "Oh, that's a red oak tree right there." Okay, good for you. But, you know, a tree is a tree. But then he put up a tree that was an orange tree. And you know what they noticed because of the fruit? That's an orange tree. Oh, okay, apple tree, apples hanging on. What do you know about the tree? That's an apple tree. Pear tree, pears, pear tree, right? You got a dogwood, you got the fruit of that flower. What do you know? Dogwood, you got it? Now, what is it that distinguished the difference that made us all be able to know what kind of tree was it? The fruit, the fruit. Have you ever noticed though that you gotta take care of that tree for the fruit to grow in plenty and to be healthy? Otherwise, you might have, I had an apple tree for a long time. I didn't do jack with that apple tree. I didn't prune it. I didn't care for it. And guess what? I got those little kind of crab apple things that would drop, and then I would mow the grass, and that's just nasty. You know, they get all, anyway. But the Spirit produces fruit in our lives. What kind of fruit? Here's what it says. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now watch this. If we were to start taking these one at a time, and we said, okay, today, right now, we're going to pick a word, and you're going to give it a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is, I am killing it on this fruit. 1 is, I don't even know it's there. All right? We're just going to pick a couple of easy ones. Let's take patience. If you're killing it with patience, could I see your hand? You got a 10. Any 10s in the room? Well, you do have one liar. That's good. Awesome. There's room for you. We love you. All right. I got anybody with a 1 on patience? Okay. For those of you that are sitting next to a spouse, Jenny, you can't participate in this. Is there anybody in this room that wants to measure your spouse as a 1? I saw my friend sitting back there and both of them raised their hand. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I could go through this list and I'd say, okay, how are we doing on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? But today I want to focus on peace. So let's think about that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but where are you at peace in your life? The assumptions we make about the fruit of the Spirit is we think that we only get some of them because we don't act a certain way. But now watch this. The reason why Paul uses the singular form fruit is because of the Greek word that he used to describe it. And the Greek word that he uses to describe it is karpos. Karpos. Say it with me. Karpos. Karpos literally has a meaning that's the singular form that suggests unity of the character of the Lord as it's reproduced in you. All right, now watch this. If we are in unity with the Lord, then our fruit that is produced is healthy and good. All right? Now, Paul is urging the Galatians to remember that as Christians, they have received the Spirit of God, and they are to walk in the Spirit. Now, please hang with me on this. When preachers say things like, you got to walk in the Spirit, many of us kind of get the gist of that. We're trying to figure out, what does that really mean? So this morning, when I got up, I walked to the coffee maker. After that, I walked to my chair. After that, I walked my dogs. After that, I walked back in. I walked to the shower. I walked back to the car. I got here and I walked to the church. Today, I walked to the pulpit. I walked out to get more coffee. I walked out to the, are you with me? Because all through life, we're walking somewhere. And what's interesting about that is the term, when it says walking, is not about literal, like foot in front of the other. The term is as we're going. So when we walk in the Spirit, what we're really doing is as we're going through life, we're trusting. right? See, when you're walking through life, it's like, God, I know you're here with me, so I want you to give me direction so that I might experience these fruit. Now, remember, you don't get a fruit, you get them all. And they all come to you, and you choose what you want to do with them. Now, watch this. You can choose to let them remain dormant if you want. You can choose to let them die if you want. You can let them fall to the ground and be of no use if you want. You literally get to choose what you do with these fruit. As such, this fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are gifts for us as we walk. It's so different when you see somebody who's walking with the Spirit of God. It is so different. I mean, those are the people we go to and ask for advice and direction. Those are the people we look at and think, how did they kind of have it together? Those are the people we look at and say, wait a minute, they're kind of at peace. Like, what's going on? Like, what am I missing? Well, the challenge for us with this fruit is to recognize, one, we all have these fruit, but we don't always mature these fruit, and we don't prepare ourselves for these fruit. Like, if you just let a tree sit there, like my old apple tree, you know what? They just become problematic when you run the mower over. But we could produce fruit that is beneficial both for ourselves and for those around us, but we get to choose. The distinction between the works of the flesh or the world and the distinction between the works of the Spirit, that is of Jesus, are so radical that they're modeled in the life of Paul. Paul, his singular job in life was to kill Christians. I mean, that was his whole thing. He was a terrorist until such time as he meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. And in that moment, Paul makes a choice to follow Jesus. He makes this choice, I want to be forgiven. Jesus, be in charge of me. And watch this, he believed Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead. That's what we get to choose. That's when we receive this gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, when we choose to follow Jesus. Now watch this, we can mature that like Paul did because he goes on through the rest of his life and goes from being a terrorist and a murderer to becoming the second greatest preacher of all time behind the Lord Jesus and writing the bulk of the New Testament. I'd say that's a pretty radical swing, wouldn't you? Well, most of us have a choice in our life to make that same kind of radical swing, but we have to be willing to let this gift of the fruit be matured and prepared in our life. But we make that choice. Like, you get to choose what you're going to do with it. So as a result, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., all are love in some form. Pastor Bobby next week is going to talk about how love as an overarching point helps us get to this declaration of peace. Watch this, though. To be Spirit-filled is the gift that belongs to all Christians. You say, wait a minute, Chuck. I thought Spirit-filled was a church where they swang from the chandeliers, raised their hand at everything, and ran the aisles. I thought being Spirit-filled was when they brought, like, the snakes out of the cooler and handled. I thought that was when they hollered and shouted and screamed at me. Well, that's what we evangelicals have made it. But Spirit-filled, watch this. When you say, Jesus, I want you to step into my life, forgive me, and I believe you died, was buried, and you rose from the dead for me, you became Spirit-filled just like that. You can't do anything to make you Spirit-filled. That is a gift that God gives you, right? Now, how you act and react beyond that, that's on you, right? Because the Spirit wants to direct you so you can follow him and be even more Spirit-filled. But you got the Spirit. It's there. It's just how dormant you've let him grow. By the way, the Spirit of God is not it, right? It's a he. He's there, right? He's part of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the, say it with me, Holy Spirit. So how am I supposed to make sure that I grow up, and what am I to grow to? Ephesians 4:13, written by the same guy, Paul, says we're to grow up, how? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. So what are we supposed to be? It's like, Chuck, I can't be Jesus. Like, I'm not going to die for you. I can't walk on water. I can't turn water into wine. I can't do all of that. Well, of course you can't, but watch this. Jesus knows this side of heaven, you're going to fall so short. That's why he died for you. But watch this. I want you to hear me. Jesus didn't die for you just for heaven's sake. He died for you. You could live in victory now. He died for you so you could live in the spirit-filled, fruit-filled, fruit-producing business of life and live in peace. This is the beauty of what Jesus did. He didn't die and then you live miserably down in heaven. He died so you could live in the fullness of Christ Jesus now. But it's your choice. Like, this is how much he loves you. He lets you choose this. Today, let's focus again on peace. The same writer of Galatians wrote in Colossians 3:15, may the peace of Christ reign in your heart. Now that's not R-A-I-N, right? That's R-E-I-G-N. So it's reign, R-E-I-G-N, reign in your heart. So it's a priority. He's saying when you get Jesus in the right priority of your life and you let him reign as the owner and director and savior and Lord of your life, that when you do that, what is going to happen in your life is that you get peace. Now watch this. I want you, if you're taking notes, write this down. When you're not living at peace, you're making bad decisions and you're ruining good relationships. I believe this with every ounce of my being. When I'm not at peace, I make bad decisions, and I hurt good relationships. You say, well, Chuck, wait a minute, but how do you know that that is true? Well, one, I believe Jesus makes a point that peace is the greatest commodity on planet Earth, and that the only way you can live at peace is when you trust Jesus, and he gives you his gift to the Holy Spirit, and you let the Spirit of God reign in you and deliver you into peace. You will not know peace without Jesus. It is impossible, friend. It's not going to happen until the Spirit of God lives within you. You say, well, Chuck, I'm working so hard. I'm meditating. Bless your heart. That's not going to deliver it without Jesus. Chuck, I'm reading a devotional. It's not going to do it without Jesus. Chuck, I come to church. Not going to do it without Jesus. Unless Jesus is on the throne of your heart, there is no peace. How do I know that? Because Jesus said this. In John 15, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, Jesus makes this point of saying, he didn't say, you know, without me, you can only do a little bit. He didn't say, without me, you can do kind of make 20%. It's like, without me, you can bat under the Mendoza line. I mean, without me, you can bat 300 and be an all-star. No, Jesus says, without me, you can't do jack. And you certainly have no peace. Now, I don't know where your number was at peace, but I'd be willing to say, based on the conversations I have with many of you, very few of us are living at a 10. And I'm not suggesting you're always going to live at a 10, but I would say this. God would spare us of the challenge in this world, except for one thing. We would never turn to him if he didn't let us experience the lack of peace. Because if you don't know peace, you don't know that you might be living without it. Having lived at peace, I don't ever want to go back. I mean, Jenny can tell you, I've had seasons in my life where there was such a lack of peace in my life. I was so restless. I mean, I couldn't get settled at anything. I couldn't be content with anything. Everything I wanted more. I needed more. I mean, it was just like, I was like a caged animal. I couldn't sit still. I mean, it was ridiculous. And you would think, well, Pastor, I mean, you got the greatest gig in the world. How could that be? Because I needed to mature the fruit of the Spirit in my life. You say, well, Chuck, I don't get that. Well, listen again what Jesus says in John 15. I alluded to this last week. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and listen to this and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Now watch this. Why should I let Jesus grow that fruit in my life through the presence of the Holy Spirit? Well, he just said it. First, he picked me. I mean, he picked you. I mean, you were drafted number one in the NFL straight out of kindergarten by Jesus. Let's go. And when he said that, he said, now I've appointed you. It's like, okay, you get to be the ambassador to Switzerland. Like, that dude doesn't do anything, right? You get that job, right? And now watch this. On top of that, he says, not only I picked you, I appointed you, and watch what he says to do, to produce lasting fruit. The kind of fruit that's not, it didn't come around once in a season. This is the fruit that goes all year long. It's consistent. It's not up and down. It's here. And that fruit includes peace. Why? Because then the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Why do I finish up in Jesus' name? If God will give you what you ask for by using my name, why wouldn't I? Now, he doesn't put there to be legalistic. He's saying, make sure that your heart is right before me when you come to the Father and ask. And when you come to the Father and ask, he wants to give you the desire of your heart. Now watch this. If the desire of your heart is opposed to the will of God, he's not going to give it to you. So what do? We mature the spirit and the fruit in our life so that that fruit that's hanging there is evidence of God at work in us. To understand that, I want to show you an image, all right? Because I really do believe this is a significant picture. Now, this lake right here, you can see the sun. Now, we all know the sun is not in the lake. We see the clouds. We know the cloud is not in the lake. We know the blue sky is not in the lake. What we know is that the lake is a reflection of those things, right? All right, now keep your eye right there because I want you to see this. What's important about that reflection is that the lake is reflecting what is above. But we notice one thing about this lake. It is still and peaceful. With it being still and smooth and peaceful, it reflects the image of what is above. If you had a storm come across this lake, or you had boats crisscrossing this lake, or you had a bunch of fourth grade boys throwing rocks in this lake, what you would have is the ripples and the waves, and you might even have white caps and 2-foot waves, and what is above would have to work so hard to reflect all that turmoil, all of that stress-filled, anxiety-filled water, and before long, you couldn't see anything but the water. You couldn't see what was above. When you and I try to handle life on our own without trusting the work of the Spirit of God, when we believe we can do it all on our own, when we think it's all about just having moral character and doing good things, what happens is we create in our lake of our life, we lose that reflection and we become turmoiled and we become anxious and the water in our life becomes white caps. And before long, you can't see what is above us. All you see is us. And when that happens, peace is out the door. I bet you've been there, haven't you? I've been there. I've been there where I created all of my own mess. And I forget what the psalmist said in Psalm 29:11. Listen to what he said. The Lord gives his people strength. Peace, my friend, is not weakness. Peace is just simply not being at war. When your soul is at war with God and with others, you will not experience that reflection. You will simply reflect you. And could I just stop and say to you, John the Baptist, who Jesus said, that's the greatest man ever born of woman. John said, no, I'm not the Messiah. I am not worthy to tie his sandals. That is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But watch this. That's why Jesus said he got it. You see, we got to reflect Jesus, my friend. And when your life is turned up, you can't do that. Well, then, Chuck, what is the problem? Why do I do that? I would argue it's 2 points. Number one, it's a lack of maturity. It's simply a lack of maturity. Now some of you are saying, Chuck, listen, my hair is graying, falling out, going underground, and coming out in places it shouldn't be. I sympathize. Ladies, listen, don't laugh. It can happen to us too. Come on. The 915 crowd laughed more at that than y'all did. I mean, clearly y'all are not with me on that. You're sitting there saying, did he say that right or did he mess it up? No, I said it right. I was looking for a little better laugh. All right. Listen, maturity in faith produces peace. All right, write that down. Maturity in faith produces peace. Peace is a byproduct of living and following closely after Jesus. The old hymn that I heard growing up as a kid is spot on here. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, right? I mean, this is what it is to grow up in maturity. What we lack in peace is most often a reflection of our lack of spiritual maturity. If we don't believe Jesus died for us, not just for heaven, but in this life, what happens is we basically stay in spiritual diapers and miss the peace that passes all understanding. I know people who have known Jesus for 40 years, and their depth of scripture is Jesus wept, because that's the one verse they got it down pat. Now hear me, I'm not saying that scripture memory is maturity. I actually know people who can quote you a lot of scripture, but they couldn't apply it in their life if you gave them $100. That's not what it's about. But I will tell you, if you don't get scripture in you, you'll never, ever grow up, ever. You say, but Chuck, I read Jesus Calling every day. Let me just share this with you. Jesus is called. He wants your heart back. Because you can read every devotional known to man, but if you're not in the Bible, you are not growing up. Now, I believe devotionals ought to help. But if you're not in scripture, you're not growing up. Now, how do I know that? Well, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 5, solid food, which is scripture, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training, meaning you got to start somewhere. And I would say to you, if you're one of those people that say, Chuck, I'm dyslexic, I'm ADD, I'm ADHD, I never understood the Bible. First, let me stop and say to you, if you quit, it's only because you're lazy, not because of dyslexia. Because you can listen to it any way you want to. There are 50 apps that you can listen to scripture on, including getting the weekday podcast for 5 minutes a day, Monday through Friday at weekdaypodcast.com, and you can get fed scripture. It is not how much gets in you, it's getting it in you. You need, I need, we all need scripture to work in our life. How do I know that? Because it is a living, breathing work in our life. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It will separate marrow from bone and tell us right from wrong, good from bad, God from the world, and it will do that. And if we're not willing to get us in it, it is because we do not believe that this fruit of peace is ours for the asking, and we're too stinking lazy because we're concerned and believe that we can do it on our own. I want to share with you from the bottom of my heart, no, you can't. No, you can't. You've got to feed yourself. How do I know this? Listen to the rest of the text. Solid food is for those who mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You want to take a look at the world today and wonder what's wrong? We have a world that's decided there's no such thing as right and wrong. But according to scripture, there is absolutely right, wrong, good, evil, God, world. It's that simple. And you can't hide that. That's not my faith. That's not my truth. That's God's truth. I mean, argue with him, but I promise you, you're going to lose that argument. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to look at America today and say, we have a problem knowing right from wrong. Or we have a problem with believing that right is what we ought to do. We've got a problem somewhere. So what does it say in Hebrews 6:1? So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go instead and become mature in our understanding. Like some of us are pretty certain when we see that dude when they're kicking a field goal on a ball game holding up the sign that says John 3:16, we've read our Bible. Guys, men, you are the worst. You're absolutely certain that, well, I can't read the Bible, and yet somehow you can read Sports Illustrated every week. I can't read the Bible, but somehow you make it to the sports section every day. I can't listen to the Bible, but you listen to 680 Talk Radio every morning. And what I'd say to you guys, stop being lazy. Grow up. If you want peace in your life, grow up. A lack of maturity is killing us, but I would say a lack of preparation is really devastating to our life. Our belief that Jesus came to keep us out of trouble leads us to believe that he should always make things easy for us. A whole world of progressive theologians want to make you believe that, yes, God loves you, and if you trust Jesus, nothing bad's ever going to happen in your life. I want to be the first to say to you, that is just wrong. That is heresy, y'all. That is not true. Being a follower of Jesus does not mean junk's not going to happen in your life. I'm living proof of that. I got junk that happens in my life all the time. But without knowing how bad things could be, I'll never desire for things to be what they could be. If you go through a difficult time in your life, listen, Jesus didn't come to keep you from difficult things. He came to walk you through difficult things. And when you trust him, when he gets you through it, you know you've won. How? In him. Because of him. Through him. For him. We love that idea that Satan is all about culture wars. I despise those two words. Culture wars. You know what that says to many evangelicals in America today? Forget the sword of the Spirit. I just need a keyboard and the ability to blast somebody. Because we can get on Facebook and show how incredibly ignorant we can be in our faith because we too often as Americans make political platforms our faith system. I want to stop and say to you, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, I don't care who they are, that platform isn't Jesus. And Jesus is the only one worthy of our following and our highest direction in life. I'll promise you there's not a single vote you've ever made for a politician that'll give you peace. But a vote for Jesus in your heart will every time.
Amen.
But now watch it. You're clapping, think that I'm a hard, far right kind of guy. You say, well, wait a minute, Chuck, you're not? Do I need a new church? All I'm saying to you is this. Jesus is not riding on the backs of donkeys and elephants. When he comes back, he's going to split the sky wide open and he's going to ride in. And when he does, he's coming as the king of the world. And there is no political party that's going to matter. So why should it today?
Amen.
But you say, Chuck, we love the idea of fighting culture wars. I want to tell people how dumb they are. Chuck, I feel it's my calling in life to tell them they're stupid. Okay. Same guy, Paul, writing in Ephesians chapter 6, says this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And some of you immediately said, I know who those evil rulers are. And I'm going to tell you about it. Okay, maybe you missed this part, so I want to get it again. We can stand firm against all the strategies of the devil, including when he tempts us to get on Facebook and tell people how dumb they are. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies like Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, but against evil rulers and authorities where in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. If we would spend a third of the time working on growing the fruit in our life instead of screaming at political parties on the other side, we'd change the world in a week. But that requires us to look inside our soul. So how do we prepare for combat? Well, it's the scripture said, put on the armor of God. Well, it'd help if I knew what the armor of God was. All right, watch this. The scripture says, put on the belt of truth. Truth holds together all virtues and makes it effectual. What is that? All truth comes from above. If I'm not reflecting truth, I'm not living truth. I need to start with the belt of truth. What comes next? The breastplate of righteousness. And you say, what's that like? It's like a bulletproof vest. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. When people are clothed with righteousness, they are impregnable. Like a bulletproof vest, righteousness, though, is a gift. Jesus, through the cross, gives righteousness. That is, it's not yours. It's not mine. It's his. He gives that to us as a gift because what he did on the cross gave you righteousness. But you have to ask for that by asking for him. Now watch this. When that happens in our life, the gift of righteousness of God is received by our faithful and obedient response to him. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Now watch this. We put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the sandals of peace. And now some of you should never wear sandals. Like you're like that TV commercial where you got all that toe fungus, right? You just don't do that, right? But Paul's talking specifically about like army boots here, right? Well, it's been said that the conquest of the Roman Empire was because they put the right shoes on their warriors. Now, what Paul is saying to us is this: be prepared for rough terrain because rough times are coming. Be prepared because if you're not in the middle of a fight, one's coming. If you're not in the middle of a difficult time, one's coming. Be prepared. Get ready for that. The picture is this: put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared for what's ahead. When we prepare, we put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the sandals of peace. Watch this. I want to make sure that you get this, all right? If you're going to take a picture of slide, take a picture of this one. If you're looking for peace, prepare for challenging times. If you're looking for victory, prepare with peace. Guys, listen, this is life right here. This is the gospel story right here. It is the gospel story for you to live Monday through Saturday. Now, next, we put on a shield of faith. Because here's what I know. Moral character, moral strength is going to wear down and wear out. Because living and walking the Spirit-filled life and letting the fruit of the Spirit grow in us, listen, watch this now. It is not about you doing and trying to be good. Because you and me, we're going to fail at that. Like, I'll guarantee you something, whether in your mind or tangibly this week, maybe even this morning, you've already done said something that said, okay, I'm disqualified. Okay, that's the good news about what Jesus comes to do. He says, but out of trustful obedience, I will guard you, I will protect you, I will be your shield. Then we have to put on the most important thing, which is the helmet of salvation. You know, if you ever watch a ball game and a kid's helmet come off, what is the first thing he has to do? He has to get to the sideline. Why? You got to put your helmet back on. Like for some of us, we need to get our helmet on. Salvation is not only for forgiveness of past sins, it is the strength to overcome, even conquer present and future sins. See, we get to make a choice about what we do with what we're tempted with. But Jesus made the promise that he's going to give you every power to overcome that temptation. He never said you're not going to be tempted. We are. But if you have that helmet of salvation, what you're saying is, I'm going to get it right from the start. I'm going to let Jesus come into my life and take over. I'm going to let him do that. But then you take on the sword of the Spirit. Now watch this. Like, some of you guys are thinking lightsaber. Right? And I'm immediately, I'm not a Star Wars guy. I mean, I'm sorry. That's not my deal. Like, I've never understood the draw of somebody in a movie that goes, oh, I don't get that. It's like, give the dude a line or take him out. Why? It makes no sense to me, but whatever, right? I've been told I sound like Chewbacca. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, all right? Don't think the sword of the Spirit is your keyboard. The sword of the Spirit is not a quick tongue. The sword of the Spirit is not a quick wit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And this same Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit, including peace. Our sword, then, is the Bible and so much more. It is the Word of the Bible made alive by the Spirit of God working within us. So if you're one of those people that says, Chuck, I try to read the Bible, it makes no sense, you got to trust the Spirit of God within you to bring that to you in wisdom and fullness, because you'll never get it apart from the Spirit of God. You say, well, Chuck, why do I do that? I got to mature in faith. Let Scripture get in you. Well, Chuck, I can't do it. Sure you can. I mean, seriously, 5 minutes a day, sure you can. His Spirit speaking to us will change your life. The gift of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they're not earned. They are exactly, like I said, they're gifts. By growing up, by maturing in our faith, by preparing for our walk with Christ, here's what we know. Without salvation, you have no helmet. Without faith, you have no shield. Without the Bible, you have no sword. Without truth, you have no belt. Without righteousness, you have no bulletproof vest. Without firm footing, you have no peace. Where do I get all those things? From the Spirit of God. Well, Chuck, can you just give me like a 1, 2, 3, 4? What do I do with all that? Absolutely. You ready? 1, ask Jesus for salvation. Well, how? Jesus, I believe you died for me. You rose from the dead for me. I want you to step into my life. I want you to forgive me, and I want to turn my life around. I want to live for you. You say, Chuck, I want to do that right now. Okay, then say that right now. Jesus, would you forgive me? Step into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I believe you died and rose from the grave for me. I want to live for you. You say, Chuck, that's as simple as that? If that's what you mean, yeah, absolutely, it's that simple. What do I do next? Follow Jesus in obedience. Well, what did he ask me to do? The first thing he asked you to do is be baptized. How? Jesus standing there in the water. Picture of Jesus' death. What do? They buried him right under the water. What do? Come right back up. Jesus' resurrection. Why do I do that? I don't really know except for 3 things. He did it. If he did it, we ought to do it. He told us to do it. Well, if he said we ought to do it, we ought to do it. 3rd thing is, it does picture to everybody else. I'm now a follower of Jesus, like wearing a wedding ring. When you see that ring, what do you know about me? I'm married. If I take him off, am I still married? Yeah, of course. But when I put it on, it shows that I'm married, right? And you know what's interesting? I'm proud to be Jenny's husband. Isn't that interesting how that picture works? Ask Jesus for salvation. Follow Jesus in obedience. Know Jesus in maturity. Grow up. Get in the Word. Get in a group. Grow up. And then finally, prepare with Jesus for the battle. But you've got to prepare you, not the rest of the world. It is on you to grow you up. You own the responsibility of maturing your spiritual life. Peace is a choice, my friend, not an emotion. And you can choose peace. It is your choice to choose peace. It is not an emotion. And when you choose to know Jesus and discover all that he has for you, you will know and experience peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, Lord, I believe with all my heart there are folks online and there's folks in this room. They are so desirous of peace. They want to do just about anything, and yet you said it's as simple as saying, Jesus, would you be my Savior? Would you forgive me? And I believe you died and rose from the dead for me. And I want to trust you in my life. Friend, if that's the desire of your heart, then tell Jesus that. You want to begin walking and trusting, obeying, then follow Jesus in baptism. You want to grow up and know what he's got for you, then get in the Word of God this week. You want to prepare for the battle, get in a group and let him speak truth into your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fruit that you've given us. Now give us a desire in your spirit to let it grow up in us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's worship real quick before we go.
If I'm not dead and you're not done.
Yeah.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I
believe.
I'm not
come on,
dead
church.
And you're not done.
my usual blessing today, I want to leave you something a little different. You know, you came by and some of y'all got fruit pies out there, and I wish you'd get them, because if you're not, I got to eat them, and I need to get Satan behind me in my sugar intake. So you got to get this fruit pies off this porch. But there's a reason why we got fruit pies out there. Some of y'all are going to get hungry, and you're going to open that box and dig in. And that strawberry juice is going to drip down your chin and get on your shirt. And you're not going to have a napkin, so you're going to wipe them out right here. Or like this. Or like that. And you're going to be a mess. But the good news is there's a reason why we got fruit pies out there. Because when you dig in that fruit pie, I want you to remember something. That fruit is yours. So I want us to say together, that fruit is mine. You ready? That fruit is mine. Oh, come on. That is pitiful. That fruit is mine. Now, hit yourself when you do. That fruit is mine. Now you're going to say, I'm going to live it this week. You ready? I'm going to live it this week. Come on now. Because that fruit is mine. I love y'all. Go in peace.